That's our noon hour look at news. Our next report of WILL News comes this afternoon during All Things Considered at 4:30.
Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
Let's take a look at our weather next. The high pressure will stretch from the central plains eastward across the Midwest through tonight, keeping the region dry and temperatures above average over the next day or two. Tomorrow, a storm system organizing near the Gulf Coast will lift northeastward. It will begin to spread rain into the region from the southwest by tomorrow night, and that rain will continue into Wednesday. Areas from Missouri to central Indiana and south are most likely to see rain. High temperatures today will range from the low 40s in northern Wisconsin to the low 50s across southern Missouri and western Kentucky. Low temperatures tonight will range from the upper teens in eastern Iowa to the low 40s in western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, sunny with a high in the upper 40s. The wind from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll see a low of 28. The wind will be out of the west from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny. The high 52 with a wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s and a south wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. The outlook for Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high in the low 50s. The wind will be light and from the east. Wednesday morning, the wind will be out of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday night and Thursday, mostly cloudy, and much colder. Look for a low Wednesday night in the upper 20s and the high Thursday in the upper 20s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-30s to the upper 40s. 50 degrees, in fact, reported at Evansville at the top of the hour. A mix of clouds and sun across the region. Rockford and Bloomington reported 42 degrees. It was 40 at O'Hare, 47 degrees at Mattoon and Carbondale. In South Bend, 36 degrees. Lafayette, 46. Indianapolis reported 47 degrees. It was 48 at Terre Haute and, as I mentioned, 50 degrees in Evansville. Willard Airport reported 47 degrees at the top of the hour. The sky, sunny. The dew point, 27. The relative humidity, 45%. The wind out of the west at 12. The barometric pressure, 30.15 and falling. And at 12:40, 45 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Whether it's adding fish oil supplements or eliminating sugar and food coloring, families struggling with children diagnosed with ADHD often pin their hope on adjusting a child's diet. NPR's Allison Aubrey looks at whether these strategies really work.
If you cross the word hungry with the word angry, what do you get? Hangry. A hangry kid is one who steps off the bus ravenous, irritable, and fidgety. This can happen to anyone, but for kids with attention deficit disorder, the effect is even more dramatic. Mother Linda Brower says with her son, she realized it had little to do with what he was eating. It was that he hadn't eaten enough.
He's always gotten hangry. When he is wanting something to eat and he can't even articulate it, it was really hard to stave him off until we had something to eat.
Kids with ADD burn lots of calories. They're moving their bodies all the time and often won't sit still long enough to eat. So Brower says she realized that managing her son's diet was very important, but not in the way she'd been led to believe. She says back in the 1980s, when her son was diagnosed, lots of parents were experimenting with elimination diets, removing sugar, food colorings, preservatives, certain kinds of fruits and meats. And she did try this.
And I really tried hard to control his diet when he was little, just because that was what good mothers were supposed to do.
But she says it finally dawned on her that the diet made no difference. She recalls reports from her son's preschool.
He was grabbing toys from other children. He wouldn't wait his turn. He was interrupting.
And home wasn't any easier. Bauer says her son's behavior was so impulsive, she couldn't leave him alone for a moment. Feeling very worn down, she took the advice of her doctor and put her son on the stimulant medication Ritalin.
It was so amazing to me. I could really see night and day. So, yes, it was very helpful.
Unlike diet, the medicine clearly worked. Brower's story turns out to be pretty typical. For most kids diagnosed with ADD, stimulant medication is very effective, whereas diet changes alone are usually not enough. This is the conclusion of a paper published in the journal Pediatrics. It evaluates lots of studies over 3 decades, and psychiatrist Jefferson Prince of the Massachusetts General Hospital, who was not involved in the study, says the author's findings certainly fit with his own experience in treating children.
There may be a small percentage of people for whom changing diet will have enough of an effect to be used alone.
Probably fewer than 10% of kids, he says. The rest will need medication. But Prince says this is not to say that diet is irrelevant.
Its main role in my practice is as a complementary treatment.
Lots of research suggests that diets rich in refined sugars and processed carbohydrates, think sodas and chips, are bad for all of us, not just kids with ADD. So Prince's nutrition advice is simple. Eat as much fresh, whole food, and healthy fats as possible.
I think if we have more processed stuff, we don't feel as good as if we have less processed stuff.
And in terms of specific advice for ADD kids, Prince says there's been a fair amount of research on the value of omega-3s from fish oil, also known as long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acids.
We think that there's some link between having low amounts of long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acids in ADD.
So go ahead and get some fish in your diet, or even take fish oil supplements. Prince says even though the evidence isn't conclusive that this will help kids with ADD, given the heart benefits, he says it can't hurt. And his other bit of specific advice, eat lots of protein.
Having protein is really, really important.
Why? Well, he says lots of kids with ADD aren't good eaters to begin with, and the medicine can suppress their appetites, so they still go long stretches without eating.
And they get hangry.
And need food quick. Prince says one way to keep this in check is to start the day with a high-protein breakfast that sticks.
So if you can have a glass of milk and peanut butter sandwich, that's going to help you carry you through the day.
Linda Brower says she swears by the breakfast tip. She opted for egg sandwiches for her son, and she says it's made a big difference. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
If you wear contact lenses, you are in a club with 40 million other Americans. Most people probably think they're taking proper care of their lenses, but a recent study found that is not the case. NPR's Patty Naiman reports.
Cleaning and storing contact lenses isn't complicated, but it does require adherence to certain simple but important steps. And it turns out most people are taking some risky shortcuts.
For the most part, patients know what they should be doing, but yet they fail to do it.
Danielle Robertson is a vision scientist at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center who recently surveyed 433 people who wore contacts. It turned out less than 1% were doing everything right. That means 99% were doing something wrong. Most commonly, it had to do with storage. When contacts aren't being worn, they're supposed to be kept in a small plastic container full of sterile solution. Robertson says too many people didn't bother changing it. They just topped it off.
Topping off means at the end of the day, you take the lid off your case. You still have some solution left from the night before. So rather than dump it out, you just squirt a little extra in.
Big mistake, she says. Leftover solution in the lens case is often already contaminated with bacteria.
So if you get bacteria in that lens case and it's sitting in old solution that's no longer effective all day in that wet environment, the bacteria will continue to grow and they'll form little communities called biofilms.
Biofilms, a sort of bacterial slime.
So once you get a big, thick, heavy biofilm in that case, it's going to be really hard to get it out of there. And studies in our lab and other laboratories have shown that, you know, after about 9 months, I'd say 80 to 90% of lens cases have bacterial contamination.
Which can cause eye irritations, allergic reactions, and even infections. Ophthalmologist Jim Sauls with the American Academy of Ophthalmology says hygiene is important at every step.
You wash your hands for sure. And you remove each contact and put it in the reservoir, and then you leave them overnight. And then in the morning, you take them out with clean hands again, and you wash your hands, take the contact, and put it in your eye.
And ideally, empty out the case completely.
Clean it, let it air dry, and then refill it with some more solution. And every month or so, get a new case.
And always use a sterile cleaning solution. A recent study in Great Britain found that some people were actually using fruit juice, butter, and even beer to store and clean their contact lenses. That's an obvious don't. Another, says Salts, sleeping in your contacts.
The risk of sleeping in contact lenses, the risk of getting a serious corneal ulcer, is 1 in 1,000 patients, whereas if you take them out every day, it's 1 in 10,000 patients. So it's 10 times riskier to sleep in contacts than to take them out every day.
And one of the biggest and often overlooked risks is water. The ocean, lakes, swimming pools, hot tubs, even tap water. Places where potentially dangerous organisms like amoebas can lurk. Researcher Danielle Robertson.
These amoebas can actually bind to your lenses, and then you go back, you throw your lenses in the lens case. You have an old lens case, there's lots of bacteria in it. These guys are going to feed on that, like sitting down at the table at Thanksgiving, and they're just going to grow and flourish.
Putting you at risk for an infection so severe, it can cause permanent visual damage and even blindness. So don't cavalierly clean and store your contacts. Make sure you adhere to all those simple, little, but critically important steps. Patty Neiman, NPR News.
As a WILL listener, you have the power to make a positive and lasting investment in this vital and respected resource. Have you considered including Illinois Public Media in your estate plans? You can help ensure this station's future for generations to come. For information about the Legacy Circle, call Don DeBeard at 217-333-7300 or go online at will.illinois.edu/support.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 9th of January, 2012. It's the birthday of the New York Times critic Michiko Kakutani, born in New Haven, 1955, daughter of a Yale mathematician, herself a graduate of Yale.